Well, we've just clapped for God. Now let's clap for Chris for leading us with so much energy. And the gentleman who lost his daughter, his name is Michael?
Micah Stampley.
Micah.
Yeah, M-I-C-A-H.
Okay, so let's remember Micah. What a awful thing to lose a daughter at age 15. We don't know the circumstances, but let's just lift him and his family up. So, well, that was great singing. And we're talking about adoration, and I was thinking, last year at this time, Charles was running the marathon, and I took a video of everybody saying hi to him. I shared it later. He's not running this year, but right now, as we're in here learning and trying and together adoring God, we have a million people on the streets spectating a race, clapping for people they don't even know. Because I've run it twice, and everybody's cheering me on. It's like, you don't know me. So I'm glad we're in here, and I'm glad I'm not with a million people. And I'm even more glad that I'm not running 26.2 miles today, because after doing it twice, that's crazy. But one of my friends, really lifelong friends, is running today, and his wife Sharon is here. Everybody turn around and say hi, Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Now, her husband, I believe, please pray for David, because I think he is mentally ill, because this is his 63rd marathon, and he's done 5 complete Ironmen. You know what an Ironman is, right?
Yeah.
You swim 2.5 miles, you bike 125 miles, and then you think, well, I've been exercising all day. What should I do now? Oh, I think I'll run a marathon. So those guys are certifiable, but we're in here today. We're in here today to talk about adoration, but not just talk about it, but to do it, and that's what we've been doing. And, you know, adoration is not a word that we use a lot in our culture. But we use 2 forms of the word a lot. We talk about adore, like I adore you, or I adore him, or I adore her. And I mean, I hear that 5-10 times a day from my wife. It just like, she says it so often, and I just get tired of it. I adore you. But we're not talking about that, because that's, yeah, you think that's funny? Well, I will tell you that my wife in the back was shaking her head no, so... But that's usually romantic love, right? When you talk about adoring someone. The other form of the word we use is adorable. And we typically use that word when we're talking about a little baby. Sharon was showing her a video, or actually a FaceTime of two of her grandsons last night. And that's the word you use of a child. You also might use it of a pet. And I have to tell you that in the whole scheme of things, this is a pretty small thing, but our oldest son had to live with us for a while, and he just moved to L.A., and we had a dog. How long was Davey with us? 7 years, and he was at my side. When I was home, he was there. When I would come home, he would jump up as high as he could, cry like I'd been gone forever, lick my face, just follow me around. Reluca knows Davey, Julie, some of you know Davey. And it was my son's dog, so he took him with him to L.A. And so... I came back from a trip, and I got these little, like, wolf ears you wear, like, for Halloween, and I put them on them. So this is what adorable means. Whoops. Nope, I got it. I think I got it. Oh. Is that not adorable? Yep. And so, yes. I think we should just sit here and admire him for a while. What do you think? No, it makes me too sad. It makes me too sad to see it. But, you know, adoration. So adore, adorable. But adoration is really when there something compels you to think about this phrase. We actually use it. We say, boy, he really sang her praises. What does that mean? Or... he really sang her praises. Yeah, they spoke well of them. And it's funny we use the word sing, because we're not usually singing. Like I have a doctor that after 4 years, I had a condition in my throat that no one could diagnose. Well, they diagnosed it 4 times. Actually, with the name, they gave me treatment or prescription, and it didn't get better. And I was really getting frustrated. And I went back, after all the specials, I went back to my family doctor, and he said, I've been studying your case. I've been looking at this. We need to think outside of the box. It could be this. And he gave me a treatment, some prescription, and in 2 weeks it was gone after 4 years. So I'm singing his praises. I went out to all the staff there in the doctor's office, and I said, this guy's a genius. He went the extra mile for me. He's so smart. He's so kind. I'm one of 1,000 patients, but he thought specifically about me, and he solved the problem. And I was singing his praises. If I'd actually sung, they would have all scattered because I'm not a singer. But I was singing his praises. That's what you do when there's someone that you respect, that you love. So as I was thinking about that, what qualities in a person would cause us to have adoration for that person? And I decided not to include love. And the reason is because love is a word that's overused. And actually, have you ever had someone that tells you you love them, but you know they don't? And they don't act like it? So I thought, what are some of the qualities when you see in a person that lifts your heart? And as I went through each of these, I'm just going to put them up quickly on the screen. I thought, this is really, these are all characteristics of God. The words we sing in here every week, and you guys were singing great today, and I think some of you were singing like you meant it, and in all the darkness and challenge that we have, we need to focus, lift our hearts and focus our eyes on what is really true, what is supremely true, what is ultimately true, because the right now isn't too good sometimes. But there's a bigger story. We have our little stories inside of a bigger story, and the ability to have adoration from God is when we can come together and remember the bigger story that we're in. And that the story is really, truly, there are no fairy tales in life, but there is a true tale of how this is all working together and where we're all headed and what is coming someday. And then in the meantime, what is going on right now and how is God involved with this? So here are some of the characteristics. Someone who's generous, they give more than they need to give. They give it abundantly over and over again. Well, the scriptures say that God gives and gives and gives and gives. He gave his son. He gave his love. He gave his life. He gives a comforter to us. He gives us everything that we need to get through a day at a time. The kindness of God. You know, one of my favorite verses now at this stage of my life, because I grew up in kind of what I would call an angry church. God was angry. And then we were angry at everybody else that wasn't in our church. And we really didn't like each other that much. And there wasn't a lot of kindness there. And the whole thing of submitting to God or obeying God, and maybe some of you had this experience in church, was fear. Like God is just kind of watching you. We had this song that we sang as kids, and it was a scary song. And it said, oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch or do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For there's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. No, it's Big Brother looking over your shoulder. I put my hand in the wrong place, and he's going to slap it. And careful, little eyes, what you see, and ears, what you hear. And it got the whole body. And it was fear. But Paul wrote in the New Testament after Jesus came, Paul said that it's the kindness, listen to this, it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. He doesn't want to scare you. He doesn't want to scare you talking about hell and all that stuff. He wants you to see his kindness that will lead you to surrender, submission. We're going to talk about in the last week in this series. So God is kind. People that we adore or adoration, they're others focused. It's not about me. Do you know people where it's all about them? Here's one way you can tell. You're talking to them and you see the glaze in their eyes and they can't wait for you to shut up so they can tell you something, right? It's all because it's all about me. You know, every conversation is about their world and what they need and what they want. You try to share them something and they just change the subject back to their favorite subject, which is them. The whole message of the Bible is a God who is others focused. He's us focused. The whole reason for the incarnation, and we'll celebrate that at the end of December when God came into our midst to be among us. He didn't send a rescue team or an emissary to come. He came himself, got dirty, got his hands dirty, experienced hunger, experienced homelessness. Jesus was homeless. When someone said, come and show me where you're living, I want to go with you. He said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He identified with us. He's other focused. Gracious and forgiving, the psalm that Chris read, and actually I'm going to put one up on the screen in a minute, tells us that God forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. Do you know anybody that you can do it like 100 times and they're going to keep just forgiving you? No, I don't think I do that. I know I don't do that. But God tells us that as far as the east is from the west, he separated our sins from us. And his love is there. He's gracious and forgiving. And when you meet people with these characteristics, man, you just want to hang out with them. Man, they're generous, they're kind, they're others focused, they're gracious and forgiving. Empathic, which means they understand your pain. You know, one of the worst things you can do, I was trained as a counselor and they told us, don't ever tell someone you're trying to help, I understand how you feel. Because they don't think you do. You've not been in their shoes, their circumstance. What we were trained to do is tell them how you think they're feeling and they'll tell you if you got it or not. So when someone's describing their situation, you say, I know how you feel. That's real different than say, man, I can see the despair you're in. I can see the discouragement and the hopelessness that you're feeling. They may never use those words, but you can. Well, God is a God who empathizes. And we'll see this again in a psalm I'm going to put up there. But it says he knows our frame. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailty. And that causes him to be compassionate. He has empathy for us. So, and the last one is patient. I love to be around patient people because I'm not a very patient person myself. And when I see it, it's so attractive. They just got all the time in the world, and they're not in a hurry. They're not like supposed to be somewhere else. And if you're late or things are not running on time, that's okay. And there's just a sense of presence and being with you and not distracted and somewhere else. So these are things that when we find them in another person, if you find someone like that, besides me, you should really, I'm just kidding. You're just naturally drawn to them. You don't have to laugh that hard, Chris. It's not that funny. But, you know, if you find someone that has these characteristics, you're just drawn to them. And no human being manifests these quite like God does, not even close. This is who he is. And if you have other understandings of God, it's really hard to adore him because there might be fear or sense of rejection or indifference. But he's in with you. He's all in with us. He's all in every moment. Do you know there's Psalms that tell you that he watches you while you sleep? I remember when my kids were young, I would do that occasionally, usually thankful that they were sleeping. But just to be there and to see something that this person that God gave to us, that we brought into the world, and they're quiet and they're still and you're looking at them, and it's just such a miracle, and just the love you feel. God watches you while you sleep, even if you're sleeping here or out there. He's watching you. He loves you so deeply. He loves each of us. So adoration is the ability to believe that's true. And if it's really true, if this is all really true, and I believe it is, you may be on a journey, but if this is really true, then this is way better than cheering for a stranger running a marathon. This is, and they go crazy. They shout and yell, and people put their names on so people can shout out their names even though they don't know them. But here's someone worth cheering for. Here's someone worth lifting up. Here's someone worth adoring. Here, just a couple of verses and I'll be done. I want you to look at. Praise the Lord. So singing his praises. We're singing his praises. All you nations, extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Everyone else in life may let you down. Many will. God will not. This is the Psalm 103, a section of it. We heard part of it earlier, but he does not deal with us according to our sins. You know the government will. You don't pay your taxes, they'll deal with you, right? You speed, they'll deal with you. You jaywalk, you get away with it. Most of the time I have, anyhow. But normally you get what you deserve. You break a law, you get it. God says he doesn't, the scriptures say God does not deal with us. See, I grew up thinking he did deal with us. I knew Jesus died for me, but somehow I still thought God was going to deal with me harshly. He doesn't. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion. And then 1 John 3, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. I don't know what other name you attach to yourself, or people have called you or do call you, but you are a child of God. This is a room full of children of God, sons and daughters of God. He declares that. I didn't. I'm not telling you that. He's telling you that. You are my son. You are my daughter. This is the end of Psalm 103. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. I want you to just let that sink in for a moment. He knows you're frail and doesn't judge you for it. He knows you're weak. He doesn't judge you for it. He knows your faults. He knows your sin. He says, he knows you can do better, and with his help, he'll help you do better. But he doesn't wait for that to happen. Well, when you get things kind of straightened out, then let's talk. He says, no, let's talk now. And the first thing I want you to hear me say when we talk is that I love you. I know that sin, but see, here's the east and the west, and I put them that far away. Which doesn't even make sense, and they never meet, right? Yeah, well, I screwed up again and again. Oh, I don't remember that. I've separated that. God, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know you are. I love you. Your sin, now listen to this. He's saying to you, your sin or your failures or brokenness doesn't make me love you yet less. And if you could ever get it all straightened out, which you won't, but if you could, I wouldn't love you more than I do right now. And until we get that, we're going to be on some kind of performance track to try to win God something from God. And he gave it to us as a gift. And when you enter into that, the other stuff starts slipping away. Like, that's the power of overcoming stuff. It's love. It's the power of his love. And that's what we adore today. We want to adore a God who would provide all this for us and would love us in this way. So Chris mentioned in the introduction that there is an end to this story. And this is the real beauty, is how this all ends. And this is where hope can be grounded. So John is writing. John was one of his apostles. He called himself the apostle whom Jesus loved, because he knew, he felt the love. He said in Revelation 21, he said, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, this is the end time now. This is where we're headed. This is the happily ever after. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he himself will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. You long for that day? And that day will come for every one of us, and all the suffering will be over. But in the meantime, God wants to meet us where we are. And we can find joy, no matter what our circumstances, in him. There's a scripture that says, give thanks in everything. It doesn't say for everything. There's lots of things not to be thankful for, but he says, in everything give thanks, meaning that no matter how bad it gets, nothing can touch the thing that matters most, which is the God who made you and who loves you and one day will be with you forever, with no more mourning or sorrow, and that's adoration. So when Jesus, before he went to the cross, he came in to take all the brokenness of the world on himself and suffer with, so that there would be a connection with us, that we would have solidarity together. God himself suffered, and then he said, I want you to do something to remember. So we're going to do that today. The remembering is what some churches call the Lord's Supper. Some call it communion. If you grew up Catholic, it was the Mass. All over the world today, every place the sun touches, there are people like you and us, different cultures, different languages, that are going to do this simple thing we're going to do. And it's a point, it's a chance to hit the pause button, slow down your mind, enter into the greatest expression of love ever. When Jesus said, let me take all the brokenness of the world on myself. Let me take your brokenness and your failures on myself. Let me take it all so that I can give you just love, just freedom, just forgiveness, just eternal life. So if you identify with that, if you've made some commitment to follow Jesus, which is what he wants. He wants followers, not just believers, but followers. If that's the intent of your heart, even if you're doing it poorly. Like, I think I did it poorly sometimes this week. And yet this is a moment to remember that God still says, Craig, I still love you, because I've taken that and separated as far as the east is from the west. And so we're going to take communion now, the cup and the bread. And I think as a point of worship, of adoration, this is really adoring him. Because he said, do this, please, please do this. In 2019, New York City, November 3rd, do this to remember. Because there's so many things crowding our minds, it's hard to. But to do this to remember. And the way we're going to do it is have you come up to the front and Reluca on this side by yourself, someone coming up with you. And Akuso and Vivian here. And you come up and you take the bread and you take the cup and you just go back to your seat. And during a time of reflection, and Chris will play, and that you'll take the bread, remembering that Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. That's you. You put your name in there. And this is this cup represents the blood that I shed for you. Put your name in there. So you take the bread, you take the cup, and then don't worry about, just you can just set the cups on the floor under your seat. You don't have to worry about that. We'll take care of that later. Just stay in your seats if you can and be in the moment of adoration as we adore the one who came and loved us.